We've been bringing a message, and Jesus is the way. And I've been saying to you, you know, over the last couple of weeks that He is the way. In fact, there's a church, before the church was called a church, and before the church was called Christians, it was known as what? The way. And you know now why we're called the way. I told you two reasons why, because Jesus Christ said He is the what? He's the way. And I also said, Jesus Christ said, and you have two opportunities for the way. You have the way to go to the wide road. You have the way to go to the narrow road. The wide road leads where? To destruction. How many people are on the wide road sometimes, right? That's the way. That's why it's so wide. Not very many people on the narrow road. But today we're going to talk about the other aspect of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. And we've been talking over the last several months, He's the way to what? And I told you that He is a way to God the Father. I said to you that He is a way to what? To life. He is a way to the truth. He is a way to true love. And today He's a way to joy. And today He's the way to peace. He's the way to peace. I wonder truly how many of us really are at peace. I wonder. Dave, I'm starting to wonder about you, because every time I say you, raise your hand, he's the only one that's That's true. I think most of us have peaceful moments, but do we have a peaceful life? I mean, a peaceful life. How many have peaceful moments? Yeah, peaceful moments, right? But do you really, truly have peaceful lives? And a peaceful life is measured by 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days. How many of you really truly have peace in your heart? Continuously. Peace.
Can you be mad for a second and have peace?
Well, you answer the question.
You can be mad or happy.
Well, hang on. You can be angry. But it should never be righteous anger. I mean, it should always be righteous, not self-righteous, right? It's okay to get angry. How many know it's okay to be angry? It's just not okay to be angry at the guy who didn't go through the red light when it turned green and you're in such a hurry that 2 minutes is too much for you. It's not okay to be angry at him. It's not okay to be angry at the person who gives you a fish when you wanted a Big Mac. Who knows what a number one is? Who knows what a number one is? What's a number one? Anybody know what a number one is? David, what is it? Big Mac meal. You're eating it too much, buddy. And so it's okay to be angry, but over the right reasons and never the wrong reasons. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counsel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Let's look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. I certainly can appreciate I'm not the smartest one in this room. Sissy is, and she went downstairs. So, but of the increase of his peace, there will be what?
No end.
There is no trial. There is no mountain. There is no tribulation. There is no obstacle that should ever rob his what? Peace. Never. Can we be at peace in the storm? Yes. Can we be at peace climbing the mountain? Yes. Why? Why? Because he is with me. I mean, we can all have peace outside of the storms. Can't we? Who can be at peace on a summer day, laying down in the field, when all your bills are paid, the car is great, the food's in the fridge, nothing's bothering you, you're laying down having the sun basking on your head. Oh, what a peaceful day. How many can have peace like that? That's not the peace we're talking about. We're talking about peace where? In the storm. We're talking about peace in our lives. We're talking about having peace when there should be no what? Peace. Do you have that? Or are you waiting for the flowers to come out? Good luck. I really do believe we're going to need salt out there on Easter Sunday morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to John 14, 27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Yes. John 14, 27. My peace I give who?
To you.
Who?
To me.
To me. To me. Is Jesus a liar? John 14, 27. My peace I give to you. And my peace I what? Leave with you. I'm not going to give it to you and then what? Take it away. I don't give it to you when you have an all-day ride past the Kennywood Park and potato patches open. I give it to you when it's raining and storming and you can't go. My peace I give to you. My peace I what? Leave with you. But I do not give to you as the world gives. I don't give it to you like Dr. Phil gives it to you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't give it to you as Oprah gives it to you. I don't give it to you as Joel Osteen gives to you. I don't give it to you as Billy Graham gives to you. I don't give it to you as any pastor gives to you. I give it to you as the Son of God gives to you. Do you have it? Do you have it? See, the peace he gives you is in your storm. The peace he gives to you is in your trials. The peace he gives you is in your financial difficulties. The peace he gives you is in your health difficulties. The peace he gives you is in your job problems. The peace he gives to you is in your relationship issues. The peace he gives to you is above what the world can give to you. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you, but I do not give to you as the world gives. So then what? Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. Is that a suggestion? That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Isn't it? Right, Whitey? It's not, so what do you think? No, it's do not let your hearts be troubled. Think of the things that causes us to be at no peace. Like a dentist. How many just love going to the dentist? Like it's on your top 10 to-do list things. Right? Let's go to the dentist and get a root canal. How many ever had a root canal? How many say, you know what? I got nothing to do tomorrow. Let's go get another one. Ugh! How many know there are people who need to take some pills just to get into the dentist's office, right? Well, there are people who need that kind of stuff to get through life. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Are you at peace? Do you have that peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings? Hopefully you do. Let's turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse. John 16, 33.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Woo. How many know that's a good passage of scripture to memorize, huh? How many know Jesus knew what he was talking about? How many know he said when you will have trials? He was right. And so when you're thinking unto yourself and you have that opportunity to reflect, you're saying, why is this happening to me? Guess what? It happens to who?
Everybody.
You're included in the everybody. But maybe there's some people, maybe Dave Lewis will raise his hand for this too. I don't know.
If you want me to.
No, I don't want you to. How many had problems in this world at least one time in your life? Thank you, David. Everybody gets their turn. How many of everybody gets their turn? If you live on this earth long enough, you're going to get your turn. You will experience something that you wish you had not experienced. Is that true?
Yes.
Everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. But not everybody knows Jesus. Not everybody knows Him. Would Jesus calm your storms? He will. When the moment is right, He will stand up in the boat of your life. When the waves are crashing and the winds are howling and you think you're going to die, Jesus will get up in the stern of your boat. And what will He say to the wind and to the wave? Be still.
Amen.
How many had that experience too? See, we all get our turn at the pain, but we all get our turn at the comfort too. See, we all get our pain in the storm, but we all get our time in the calm seas too. How many ever had that calm sea moment too? How many had that calm sea moment right after an unbelievable storm in your life, and all of a sudden you went, wow! Not only is it over, but I made it through His help. That's the way it works. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans, the 15th chapter and the 33rd verse.
Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Wow, that's a great benediction, isn't it? That's the one we save for the last. Probably Pastor Ed and Pastor Cole. We better that kind of stuff. That's what we say at the last, right? And now may the peace of God be with you and remain with you always. We should say that in the beginning, I think. Maybe when we get up in the morning, we should say that instead of wait till we go to bed at night, right? How many need God's peace during the beginning of the day? See, that's a benediction. We say this thing, this benediction at funerals. You know, I do that one at funerals. You know, you do the funeral, and the very end of the funeral, you say, now may the peace of God be with you. The service is over. Go in peace. Maybe we should say that first thing in the morning when we're brushing our teeth. Lord, be with me today. I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it. How many are in a storm here today? How many are in a storm here today? Who's in a storm? Do you still feel God's presence in your life? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you how long? How many feel like forever's around the bend? Forever's around the bend for me. Ed? I'm just asking. Forever's around the bend? But He's been with me a long time. How many know Jesus has been with you a long time too? Praise God, right? Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26:3.
You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you.
Okay, let's talk about it. We can pretty much understand what peace is all about, right? And peace is not what we did in the 60s, which was what? I knew you knew. Come on, somebody knows how to give the peace sign. Give me a peace sign.
Peace.
What does that mean anyhow? I never did really know that. You...
Victory.
Oh, victory, is that what it is? He knows everything. Isaiah clearly says, 26:3, you will keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect. Not imperfect. Perfect peace. As much as peace can be perfect, he keeps you in his perfect peace. Not peace that's got some dents in it. Not some peace that's got some imperfections in it. Not peace here today, gone tomorrow. No, in his what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Oh, there's a caveat. There's a caveat. He will give you perfect peace whose what? Mind is what? Stayed on who? Him. Oh, there's a caveat now. You see, if my mind is off of him and on my trouble, guess what happens to my peace? If my mind is not stayed on him and my mind is on my trouble, what happens to my peace, Whitey? It goes away. Wow. So I guess I need to ask a monumental question. If you're not at peace, where are your eyes? If you're not at peace, where's your mind? Where is it? There were a group of men called disciples. You ever hear of those guys before? Disciples. Well, they were in a boat one day, and Jesus was with them. I don't mean with them like figuratively. I mean he was what?
In the boat.
With them. I mean, he was where?
Right there.
Not in some kind of fictitious kind of way, right, Sonny? I mean, Jesus was in the boat, right, Whitey? And where was he? Like, right there. Right there. And Jesus said to the disciples, get in the boat, because we're going to go up to the other side. That's what he said. He didn't say, we might go to the other side. He said, what? We are going to the other side. And you all know the story, right? Disciples in the boats. Jesus is fast asleep in the stern. He's away. He's in the back of the boat. And the waves come and the wind howls and the storm starts beating upon the bow of the boat. And these seasoned fishermen are whining that they think they're going to what? Die. But what about the part that Jesus said we're going to go to the other side? Did they forget that part, Clyde? I guess they did. You see, they forgot that Jesus said we're going to get to the other side. Let's talk about Abraham. Remember a guy named Abraham? Abraham had a son. And his son was called who? Isaac. And Abraham is going to take Isaac up to the top of the mountain. And he's going to do what to his son? Kill him. He's going to do it. How many of you believe he was going to do it? Oh, he was going to do it, right, Pastor? He had the boy tied up on the altar. By the way, that's called a type and a shadow, in case you didn't know that. My Sunday school class knows that now, I know. Type and a shadow. Isaac was a shadow of Jesus Christ coming because Isaac was obedient even to the point of being killed, sacrificed. He didn't run away from his dad. He allowed himself to be tied up. That's another whole story. Abraham has the knife. He has the boy tied up. He's going to plunge the knife into what? His son. He's going to kill him. How many understand that? But did you remember that what he said to his servants before he climbed the mountain? He said, we, wait here, because we're coming back. Who's the we? Me. And the boy. I'm going to kill him. And I don't know how this is going to work out. But God told me we're going to build a great nation from my son Isaac. And I don't know how this is going to come out. But me and the boy is coming back. Do you have that kind of peace? Or are you trying to work it out in your own understanding? How many are glad you're not in charge? Turn to somebody and say, boy, I'm sure glad you're not in charge. Oh. Did he say that? You said to him? I mean, be real. How many need a GPS to get anywhere you don't know where you're going nowadays? How many know when that thing goes off, you are in big trouble? How many remember the days we used to figure it out? How many know a lot less husbands are asking for directions now? Thank you for the GPS. Come on, Mark, right? I don't have to ask for directions. Well, I got one too. My GPS stands for God's Protection Services. Amen. I got one too. How many's got a GPS? Oh, I got a GPS. God's Protection Service. And I may not know where I'm going, but I'm going to get there. And Jesus said to the disciples, they started whining and complaining. Their life was over. Why? Because they took their eyes off of the Lord and they put them on the waves. They took their eyes off of Jesus and they put them on the wind and they thought that they would die. Maybe that's some of you. Maybe your eyes are fixated on all the storms and they should be fixated on the Lord. In due season, Jesus got up out of the stern of the boat and he looked at the disciples. He looked at every one of those disciples that only he could. He looked at them and he said, how long must I what? Put up with you. O ye of little faith. And he stretched out his arms. He said to the wind and to the waves, be still. Be still. And the sea was as glass. When does the Lord stand up in the boat of your life? On your time? Does he stand up in the boat when you call out for him? Or is his timing perfect in your life too? Did you know that after he said, peace be still, the disciples were afraid and they said, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? The bigger the storm, the bigger the Lord. The bigger the mountain, the bigger the Lord. And some of us, because of our storms, we're at peace today because of them, not instead of them. How many find more peace because you had a storm or two? Let's just be real. Some of us are at peace because we had them. And you know why? Because we get to sit back and we say, that ain't no storm. That's a blip. How many had some blips too? You go, that's going to take me 10 minutes to get over that one. Are you at peace? Turn in your Bibles, please. Isaiah 48, 18.
Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea.
Yeah. Wow. If you hold to my commandments, your peace will be like a what? A river. In fact, we just did a song like that, didn't we? Peace like a river, I got peace. That's pretty good, huh? Do you know why peace is like a river? Sissy and I were down in New Orleans. You have to stay at New Orleans, right? We're down in New Orleans. And I was a keynote speaker down in New Orleans, and Sissy went with me. And I had the opportunity to sail on the Mississippi River. Anybody ever been on the Mississippi River? The mighty Mississippi. That's a mighty Mississippi, right, guys? It's like, oh. I mean, I'm sailing on the Mississippi River in New Orleans, and they're showing you the side where the Confederates were and stuff. Oh, it's awesome. And that mighty Mississippi, you know, one of the kids, there was a little kid there on this little tour that Sissy and I was on. And this little kid asked his daddy, hey, where did the river start? That's a really good question. Where does the river start? That's a good question. Because all the kid sees is what? Water. It just never ends. It's just keep on going. The mighty Mississippi has been going for a long time. So I bet you the Mississippi is older than some of you.
You think?
Well, I'm depressed because I found out I'm older than the Holiday Inns now. Which means you're older than the Holiday Inns. And this ain't, how about this? Did you know that if you're 50 years old, you're older than Barbie? Just want to throw that out. Just throw that out. How much older than Barbie? Let that sink in, huh? I'm older than the Holiday Inns. I'm older than the Big Mac. Oh my gosh. But peace like a river. There is no beginning and there is no end. It just continues to what? Flow. You have that kind of peace? No beginning and no end. It just flows and it flows and it flows. Do you have that? Or is your peace dammed up somewhere like an ice jam and it's not forgot to flow? And you dry bed and there's just no peace in your life at all. And what's going on? You know, you had it, now you don't have it. And what's the problem? Well, Isaiah says it pretty clearly. Isaiah says what? He must trust in me. He must trust in me. I think too many of us trust ourselves. How's that working out for you? How's that working out? So many people say to me, I'm going to heaven. Well, why? Because I'm a good person. Oh, you trust you more than the Lord. Now, how's that working out for you? Really? You trust more in what you can do and not what he can do? Really? See, rivers have no end. And your peace with the Lord should have what? No end. There is no obstacle. There is no trial. There is no physical deformity. There is no relationship. There is no financial concerns. There is nothing that can dam up that river. Nothing. If anything should be going by the wayside, it should not be your peace. It should be your trials. In fact, one of the things I counsel people and I tell them when you have anxiety, anybody suffer from anxiety here? I have anxiety sometimes. Who has anxiety? I do. We've talked. I understand anxiety. But you know what I now learn to do? That when I'm anxious, I'm on a covered bridge and I'm looking down at the River of Peace, and I put that anxious thing on a leaf and I let the leaf float on by. I run that to you one more time. I'm on the covered bridge, I'm looking down, I see the River of Peace, and I take that anxious moment, I put it on a leaf, and I throw it into the peace of river, and where does it go? It floats on by. Peace, like a river. Turn to your Bibles, please. Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear.
See, it's not that he goes away. It's that what? We go away. It's not that his peace can't save us. It's not that his peace does not flow like a river. It's just that we're not staying focused on the purpose of all of our peace. Our eyes are off of him. And they're on everything else. When you come to this retreat, I hope that you will come to. One of the things I'm going to have you do is spend some quiet time. And I'm going to give you some things to say. And you will say things like this. I think I'm really important, and all these things are important in my life, and you get to name all the things that's important to you, more important even than Jesus. And I know you're going to say to me, there's nothing more important than Jesus. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You have him. And that's why you have no peace sometimes, because everything else gets in the way. I told you last week about joy. Her sister and I went out there right now, and her sister's truck was gone. By the way, that truck I'm talking about, that's not that truck. Her sister's truck, big truck, I know. If her vehicle was gone outside, gone. I walk out, it's gone. What is my concern? Some people would say to me, well, your biggest concern, Pastor Thomas, how are you and sister going to get back to Chippewa? Well, see, that's not my concern. I have rides to Chippewa. How many would ride me and Sissy home if I had to have a ride? See, I got rides to Chippewa. And that's what you need to start thinking about. Not only do you have a God that's bigger than your storm, you got brothers and sisters going to help you out. How many would help somebody in a storm in this room? Who would help somebody if they called on you? How many said they're in the parking spaces in front of your house? Do you have peace knowing that? Do you have peace knowing that? That you got brothers and sisters, you pick up the phone, they're there. Hey, if somebody called you this afternoon, one of your brothers or sisters called you on the phone and said, I need your help. If you'd be there, stand up. Now look around. You can't find peace in this? Really? Look at the peace here. Look at all of the brothers and sisters you could call on the phone and say, I need your help. Guess what? Clear out this spot. I'm on the way. Sit down. Do you have that kind of peace in knowing that? Peace like a what? Like a river. Peace like a river. Praise God for that. Let's turn to our Bibles, please. Isaiah 57, verses 20 to 21.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Woo! Yeah, I heard a lot of people going, woo. I even heard some wows. Woo. Right, Mark? There is no peace for the wicked. You see, you cannot find peace when your eyes are on yourself. You can't find peace when you're talking about everybody else. You can't find peace when you're trying to rip off the company that you work for. You can't find peace when you're trying even to rip off the IRS. See, because it's not ripping off the IRS, it's not being obedient to him. See, you can't find peace when your eyes are on yourself. There, the fact is, it doesn't even say there's fleeting peace. Scripture says there is what? No peace. You know that peace like a river thing I told you about? Gone. It says that the wicked will be like a troubled sea, living in nothing but strife and turmoil. So today, where do you find yourselves? Are you peaceful? Or are you troubled? Is your life full of turmoil? Being tossed around in the storms of life? If they are, you have a couple choices. You can bail out of the boat, I guess, and jump into the troubled sea, or cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus can take care of it. He's bigger than any storm we ever could possibly have. Way bigger. Jesus said to the disciples, get into the boat, we're going to go to the other side. And the disciples were troubled, they had no peace, they were crying and whining, they thought they were going to die, because they forgot about the promise that Jesus said. Jesus said, we're going to go where? To the other side. Now, he didn't say, oh, by the way, we're going to get into a tumultuous storm. Oh, by the way, halfway across the lake, you're going to think you're going to die. Oh, by the way, halfway across the lake, it's going to be like hurricane time. You know what the disciples would have said? Hey, can we go tomorrow? Oh, we're not going. How many know that's what you would do? We go, weather bug. Let me check. Oh, Jesus, did you see what's coming? I'm the Lord. I know what's coming. I'm making it come. Why didn't Jesus say to them, oh, by the way, halfway across the lake, you are going to think you are going to die? Why didn't he say that to them? Because he knew they'd say no. You know, in that story of the disciples in the storm, there were a lot of people that weren't in the storm. They were hunkered down in their homes. They weren't afraid they were going to drown. They were not afraid they were going to die because they were in their homes. But guess what? They also wasn't with Jesus. Do you know why? Do you know why that they were in a storm? Because they followed Jesus. Ain't that something? They followed him. And guess what happened, Whitey? The storm came. Did you know that because you follow Jesus, sometimes you're going to find yourself in the heat of battle? How many know that's the way that it works? That when you decide to follow Jesus with every ounce of who you are going to be in the storms of life. You're not sitting on the sidelines watching the storms go by. You're now in the game. How many's in the game? Now you're in the game. You're no longer sitting up in the stands waving people by, signing your Christian cheerleading signs. No, no. Now you're what? On the field. Now you're in. Now you're in. But Jesus said, I'm taking you to the other side. How many know we're going to get to the other side? Oh, I am going to get to the other side. How many's getting to the other side? I'm going to the other side. There's no question about it. I'm going. I might be limpy and gimpy, but I'm going. I might get some bumps and bruises, but I'm going. And I don't care if you have to be carried across or dragged across. You're going to get to the other side. And you know what? And peace be with you all. Not by your might. But what? By his might. Greater it is in us than he that's in the world. I want to tell you that I don't think Jesus answers emails, but he answers an email though. Every time you get on your knees, God, guess what? He'll listen. Sometimes the best prayer that you can utter, and you don't have to go to seminary to learn it. Sometimes the best prayer that you can offer is simply this: help. He gets it. How many sometimes just want to raise your arms and say, help? I need your help. I am in so much pain, I don't even know what to pray. My mind is racing and I don't even know what to pray. How many have ever felt that way in your life, even one time? You're in so much pain, you're going, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. My mind is just so jumbled up. I don't know what to pray. All I know is I need your help. I need your peace. How many have ever been in that situation? Well, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and the Holy Spirit knows what to pray.
Amen.
Knows what to pray. So listen, I thank you all for coming here today. I can't give you any peace at all. I know that. Only Jesus can do that. So I got good news for you. You don't have to leave Jesus here. Right, Mark? Turk, you can take Jesus out there with you. You don't need to have peace here. You're safe here. How many know that's where the battle is out there? I mean, that's where it gets tough out there. Right? So, let me just end with this. May the peace of God be with you and remain with you always. And all of God's people said,